Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
The knowledge of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world so that people could approach Radha Krishna, and then how they saved the world from the grasp of impersonalism. And he talks about how, although they were from very wealthy families and high society and top management, they walked away as if it was insignificant. And then they spent their time in Vrindavan, rediscovering places of pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He then describes the sixth verse, Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natabi Kalavasani Krito, how they counted all their devotional practices. Sankhya means to count, of course. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natabi. They measured how many times they bowed down and how many times they chanted. And then he talks about their mood in Vrindavan, of how they were always in the mood of separation from Radha and Krishna. They were looking everywhere. Not that they were seeing Krishna, but they were experiencing an even higher position, which is feeling separation and looking everywhere for them. And then Srinivas glorifies their life in Vrindavan. Krishna kirtana gana natana paro premamritam bonidhi tira tira jana priya koro nirmatsaro pujito shi chaitanya kripa varo bhuvi bhuvo bharavantarako vane rupa sanatano rakuya ko shi jiva ko. Ganesha Kaukarunaya Kauhina
Kanta Shitao Gopi Bharas Samritabdi Lahari Kalola Magno Mahu Pande Rupa Sanatano Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopalako Kujako Kila Hansa Sarasagana Kine Mayura Kule Nana Rana Nibada Mula Vitapa Shri Yukta Vrindavane Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajata Jivarta Doyo Muda Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Ho Shri Jiva Gopalako Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalasa Ikrita Nidra Hara Vihara Kari Vijata Chayanta Dino Chaya Radha Krishna Smitir Madhurima Sammohito Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopalako Nandatata Inditanaya Kine Mayura Kule Na Sharashesha Vasaya Sada Gayanto Chakadaharir Gunavaram Baba Vibhuto Muda Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopalako He Radhe Vraja Devaki Chalavite He Nanda Suno Kutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Parapatale Ye Kutaha Taviti Sarvato Rajapure Keder Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopalako Shad Goswami Ashtakam Ki Shad Goswami Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Go Premanande Nitai Gaura Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Nitai Gaura Hari Bo This is a very auspicious occasion, and it's what the six Goswamis used to do. They come together to discuss the pastimes of the Lord, but they'd also discuss ways in which to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And obviously, in writing books, authors are thinking about who might read them. And the Goswamis did write books very purposefully because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to. And throughout our sampradaya, we have great acharyas who have made huge literary contributions. So we're extremely fortunate to be the recipients of this avalanche of transcendental literature that's come down most recently from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in which, very mystically, he was able to consolidate all the teachings and give their essence in the books that he wrote and published. And just by making those books available to the world at large, we're finding that people are able to imbibe the teachings of the Goswamis, which is a prerequisite for understanding Lord Chaitanya, which is also a prerequisite for understanding Sri Vrindavan Dham and Sri Sri Radha Krishna and their worship. So this is a tangible part of the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is, the books of Srila Prabhupada. And those who engage in distributing these books always find themselves hankering to read them as well. Because as you distribute, you start to wonder what's in them. We find that with new devotees. I can recall when we first started our program at ISV, there were a group of young devotees who had gone out a couple of times, and they wanted to start a reading group, and did, to read all the books that they were distributing, because they felt compelled to do so. One thing complements the other, the reading and the distribution. So here, in this greater Washington, D.C. area, we have an unusual opportunity. There's so many universities here, and that attracts very high quality people. And then there are neighborhoods, there are shopping areas, there are millions of homes, apartments. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts all these places together just to make it easier for us to reach all the people. And as a service that will last our whole lives and which we can pass on to others, we can organize in ways in which we constantly increase the distribution of books. And there's residual effect from that, in that as communities center their attention around giving mercy through book distribution, they also find that Krishna reciprocates by sending resources that are needed to help expand the movement. Prabhupada spoke about how by distributing books we would attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I wrote a whole chapter in my book which describes how Prabhupada had started this book printing and selling himself in India and continued it in America. And he said that, "I've hatched this transcendental plot, that by selling books there would be also enough money to build temples and also to print more books." He had a formula that 50% of the profit would go for printing more books and the other 50% would go for building temples. So Vrindavan, Mayapur, Bombay, these original projects, and then dozens of others all over the world, received money from the massive book distribution that took place, especially from 1973 onward. And this continues to this day. People who buy books from the devotees in public have a unique experience. They get a chance to meet a devotee, and then they can take home this priceless literature and read it, pass it on to others, and the books stay on for generations. Prabhupada indicated, and I quoted this in my book, that people may take the book, it may not be for them. He noted that sometimes people buy a book, they're not interested, or they may not read it, but they give it to somebody else who does read it. But he indicated that there's a way in which every book finds its mark. There's a recipient out there waiting for the books. We may not see it right away and how it's taking place, but it is. And what's more, book distribution is high sadhana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we get spiritual blood for our spiritual bodies by making the endeavor to go out and teach Krishna consciousness to others, because then some people will reject what we're saying, some people will be neglectful of us. And he said in those instances, we actually get spiritual blood, we become stronger. So I feel happy that we had a little chance to get together tonight and just brainstorm a while about the book distribution in this area, and talk about what some of the goals are and hear some of the realizations. And Loka, do you have a particular agenda that you'd like to present? We can collect these. Loka, did that microphone break?
So I guess I was thinking maybe we could share what we have achieved this year so far and your realizations of what the sankirtan means to you and how it has impacted you, and then ways to improve it further, and also some goals for next year, and how we're doing this year.
Good. So, please share your realization, or would you like to tell the highlights of how you've done so far? Of course, the year is only one third over, because the two thirds comes up now. But why don't you start and say what's going on?
So yeah, so far we had a very busy Sankirtan year this year. And I'd just like to thank you all and congratulate you all for your sincere and most dedicated service to Srila Prabhupada.
Just play with the sound a little bit. It sounds weird. Maybe it can come down just a little bit.
Early and staying late to go out on festivals and other opportunities for book distribution. And in terms of our numbers, we are doing really well in terms of our goals for this year. Our goals for financial goals for BBT have been, last year we sent 57,000 to BBT, and this year our goal is at least 10%. So, this year we are planning to send at least 63,000 this year. We're in good shape for that. We'll beat that goal this year, definitely.
Haribo!
The mercy of Prabhu and all of your hard work and Prabhupada's mercy. And in terms of our scores also, we'll beat our goal from last year, 50,000 score points, so we'll beat that also this year. In terms of our standings amongst other temples, we are, ISKCON Baltimore is currently number 4 in North America. And, so that's right behind LA, in front of the Vedic College, and ISC, and we want to keep by the end of the year. And
anyway, use the mic because we don't know what you're saying.
I just saw the words and people news letter that came out today, and for the last small temple, I think we were number two or something, even in the listing of all the temples, our number was quite significant. I don't remember the exact
Yeah, I saw it last week. I think it's number two in Mahasmog and number 18 worldwide, year to date.
Wow.
That's a top 20 is a good company to be in because we have all the big temples like Mayapur and New Delhi and Vrindavan and Pune and Tirupati and Moscow and ISV and LA and all those big temples. So top 20 is a very tough crowd to be in. And we are blessed to be in that company, but it means that we have to work harder and then work more sincerely next year to keep serving because it's a privilege to be engaged in this activity, our most pious activity. And in terms of our engagement, we have been making good advancement from last year. We have streamlined our festivals much more this year in terms of our main contributions have been books and also prasadam distribution to our Vidhan Habas. And some that has been improved quite a bit this year, and we plan to improve it even further next year. So many ideas in place, and then we can discuss more tonight how we can take it a step further. And we are targeting more. This is the first time we have gone out of our comfort zone. So a few things that happened the first time this year was we did like at least three or four festivals in parallel, which means two teams went out at two separate locations and ran a full festival at the same time. So this was the first time we did it this year. And this is, again, everybody stepping up and learning how to set up a festival, how to tear it down, how to run it throughout the day. And so that was the first time for this year. And also first time we actually went out of the DC metro area. Normally, the extent we go up to is Richmond, which is 2 hours away. But this time we went a little bit further. We went to Virginia Beach, which is 4 hours away. And then we also went to Boston, which is 9 hours away. And so that was an experiment we tried to do. And next year we have many more experiments to do, maybe flying out to a location and doing the festival there. And then we'll see how that goes. But so that's some of the improvements we are targeting for next year in terms of our expansion of Sankirtan. And also communicating with other teams of devotees and other parts of the country or wherever nearby or far away to establish stronger relationships with them of support and service together and developing stronger Sankirtan in a coordinated effort. So that's another thing that we are thinking for next year. And also increasing our Vachanagita. So right now we are doing, this year we have been we have committed to 800 books, 800 Gitas every month. So that's going out, and regardless of our December marathon is an additional 6,000 that we're doing November and December. And for next year, we'll definitely bump it up to at least 1,000 a month and then whatever extra we do in the marathon. So that's us. And then we've also, Lata, Bhakti Lata and her team, they have been working very hard on identifying some of the hospitals in all the states. So they have a list of state-by-state hospitals. So they are calling the chaplains, and then it's a very tedious job of finding a chaplain in the first place because most of the time they're not there. So they are very persistent and methodical, and they will call 10 times until they find a chaplain. So we have been able to place, they've been able to send books to a lot of prominent hospitals in the DC area like Walter Reed and Navy National Hospital and some of the big hospitals. But they've exhausted DC, Virginia, Maryland, and now they're working on New Jersey, North Carolina, and making their way across from the epicenter here.
Who's on that team?
Hema is there, Bhakti Lata is there, and Prendam is there, and who else is there? Yeah, so they are working in that direction, and then Tarini is working on hospices, so she's targeting the hospices where books can be sent. So that's another channel that we are working on, and then we plan to improve that further next year. So yeah, it's been a good year so far, and we are going for our final push this year. And with Prabhu being here, that's been a good kickstart for us. And yeah, so that's what I have in mind.
Hare Krishna. There are many centers around the world that aren't oriented towards book distribution, and oftentimes that's because the leadership of the temples are not so much oriented, but Baltimore, because Nila Madhava Prabhu is there, from the beginning has supported book distribution in such extraordinary ways, given his help and enthusiasm. Baltimore's able to have risen the whole team to such a high level. And it would be really nice to hear from Nila Madhava Prabhu his realizations of how and why he's given his heart so fully to the expansion of book distribution here in Baltimore.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I think probably my inspiration came all from you. Several years back when you came to Tampa, Loka Prabhu Mataji brought you guys here. The first seminar you brought there, and the way the Baltimore temple was piled up books, and you said, you know, this is the way it should be done, and the way you present the seminar, and the way you said about the book distribution, such a key for that. I just was an inspiration for that. And going forward, I see how dedicated Loka Prabhu and Vidarbha Mataji and their all team are there. But you know, it's the most selfless service I've seen, like going around in like summer weather, hot weather, everything. Going through, I sometimes feel that, you know, I have a job at hospital, but wish I could devote more time for this kind of activity, which is more quiet for that one. So looking at the numbers which they are doing, I think they all this commitment, all this selfless service, all of the group is there. I'm just a small piece just helping out, but I think their commitment is so good. And the more and more I see the numbers, it's just amazing that, you know, from where we were like several years back and how we have reached so far. And I think the way they came together, we were a small temple, nobody recognized. And now we go to temple place everywhere else, and recognize, oh, your temple is doing really good. I think the credit goes to all of them, just the small
people. I hear that too. Wherever I go, people are mentioning Baltimore, 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 Baltimore. And that's what happens when you excel in various areas, but especially in book distribution gets noticed, because it was the service that Prabhupada noticed the most. He noticed everything and he appreciated everything, but he wrote to the devotees in San Francisco and to others that because you're doing so well, it was back in 1971, 72, he said, then I'll have to come to your temple first and stay there. And he would challenge other places and say, I'd like to come there, but I don't know if you would be able to do as much book distribution as San Francisco is doing. And Prabhupada would calculate his travel according to where the devotees were doing the most book distribution. So it indicates the way in which one can attract the attention of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it adds this spiritual weightiness to the community that so many programs that you're doing and at the same time book distribution, when that combination is there, new temple, kids programs, education, and book distribution is in a top spot, that puts the temple in a position of a premier temple. Because Prabhupada said that the purpose of these centers was to be a basis from which we go out to fight with Maya, and fighting with Maya means dropping hundreds of thousands of books into the laps of the conditioned souls. So anyone who's a leader of such a temple gets all the residual benefits of that. And it's not a small thing, it's a big thing. Because as I've noticed, the devotees may be enthusiastic for distributing books, but unless the leader is encouraging them by even just
being the wind in their sails and telling them go ahead and so forth, then it's very difficult to grow. But I see growth here, so I want to congratulate you for your position. I know Prabhupada would be very pleased with you for the way that you're achieving so many benchmarks here, that like new temple, book distribution soaring, and so forth. So thank you very much.
You're the binding force for all of us. Whenever you come here, I think the whole congregation, everyone else is so charged up. I think when you told me yesterday that you set up some goals and I'll come more regularly, I think me and Lakaro was just discussing that we'll set up some more goals more frequently so we get to see you more.
Hare Krishna. So, some other realizations from your engagement so far in book distribution this year?
In the morning, I talked to that lady that what he did. We did in here on Friday, right? And Saturday there, and in Baltimore.
The guest that you brought over to the house today, the new lady Carol? Is that who you're talking about?
I'm talking about Carol, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he immediately said, oh, I missed on Sunday, so I want to meet him. And then I said, I have to go to draw Anita there, then said, can I come? I could not say no. I could not say it. So I brought her. And see, after we left, she was so much happy to meet you.
Well, she got a Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. And she said, thank to him that he gave me this book. Mm.
Yeah, and there's millions of people. Everyone can move up a little bit if it's possible. There's millions of sincere souls like that out there, and just one meeting, especially Prabhupada said that when you meet somebody, you can talk to them for a few minutes, but he said, what good will your 3 or 4 minutes preaching do? But if they take a book home with them, then they'll have something solid that they can read and they can actually progress in spiritual life. So that you were so kind to bring her today, and she went away with a nice impression of all the devotees. She really liked the kids especially, and she got a Bhagavad Gita too. So you can think of that one instance and see how one person is affected, because you saw the aftermath, you know, how she felt after it. And then you can times the 800, 1,000 that you're distributing every month, and see that so many people are being touched. And this is the real welfare work in the world. You could feed people, you could open hospitals, you can do all kinds of welfare work, but just like the bird feeder in my backyard, my father gave me before he passed away. I said, why is he giving me a bird feeder? But I kept it just because out of appreciation that my father gave it to me. So I set it up a few years ago. I thought, oh, I'll be such a philanthropist, I'll feed the birds. And I filled it up, and they came and ate, and they went away. And even when I went away on vacation and it was empty, they were perfectly happy being fed somewhere else. And I realized how Krishna he has an unlimited bird feeder for all living entities. He's filling it up. I don't need to be the one filling a little thing up. But what Krishna asks me to do in the Gita is be the instrument by giving out the knowledge of the Gita. Oftentimes people gravitate towards philanthropic activities and they think, oh, it's better to help the sick, help the homeless, and so forth. There's a kind of a sentiment because of misplaced understanding that people are their bodies and so forth. And also a misunderstanding that I'm the friend. But actually, Krishna's the friend. And so when we work on his behalf, we can do the best work for all people in the world. I repeat this message over and over again. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to talk about malevolent philanthropy. That is so-called philanthropy that actually does harm to people. He said, for one thing, it gives them false hope. And another thing, generally, the kind of philanthropy people do all over the world does harm to animals. In the name of helping people, they kill many animals and so many, make other kinds of harmful moves. But distribution of transcendental literature is highly authorized by all the great acharyas, and it hits the mark perfectly. It's an important message to remember that actually this kind of work is the most important work in society. And I try to prove that in my seminars also, that it's practical as well. Because when literature goes out into human society, it has a market effect. That is, people really do pick up the ideas from books. And over time, there's a systemic effect on society because of the existence of books. And in the mass distribution of transcendental books, we may not see in one particular time period a one-to-one result. But there may be at other times when people are very oppressed by material nature in various ways, an inordinate result. For instance, in Russia, when the devotees first started going there undercover and distributing books, people were so eager to get them that they would copy them by hand. They would secretly, in basements, reproduce them and get them out to others. And the entire movement in Russia that now includes tens of thousands of members started from books making it into the country. You can see that on a smaller scale. It's a microcosm of the whole world. And of course, at that time, people were extremely hungry because they were held back from being able to read transcendental books of any kind. The government wouldn't allow them to. So the books will have their effect. You just have to be faithful farmers and get good seeds and put them out into the field and then wait for the rains to come so that they will sprout. Yes, Vidarbha.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on what you were saying. One of the things that we did this year in our festivals, we met a lot of people who said that they got a book from us like a couple of years ago or last year. And so when we spoke to them a little bit more about their experiences with the book, we got some amazing testimonials about how these books have changed their life. In Baltimore, Veg Fest, Soul Fest, one lady said how she and her family became vegans after reading the book. And somebody else we met, he said that how he understood that service to the Supreme Lord was the basis of all happiness. So, you know, it was really amazing to see how people are actually reading them and understanding the message, even though they may not be becoming full sadhakas right away, but they're getting it. And it's very, very inspiring.
There's some talk about this year making January International Follow-Up Month. So after the marathon, we could have a just as organized and focused effort to follow up and invent new ways in which to bring those kinds of people who are receiving the books and having a good impression closer.
I'm just following the instruction, Maharaj, that the time had told me that each time you go to a store, just give a book to the person who's in the billing and also check out. So I've been doing this for quite some time, and sometimes I feel a little bit scared because they look very grave sometimes. They look very grave, and I'm not sure what they're going to do. Maybe they'll throw the book or whatever, but. But it also surprises me that they actually feel happy and they give a smile and they say, oh, thank you. And I remember in Walmart, there was this person, I gave him the book, he was on a checkout, and he said, you know, I have this book, I think you gave me, and I'm reading this book, it's very nice, this is what he said. So this is very encouraging, and I remember in some store, there was this lady, I could make up a name that she's following the Islamic thing, so I was kind of skeptical, should I give, should not. Then I gave her the book and she said, oh, my daughter is doing, she's a yoga teacher. So it was an amazing experience to always carry the book in the bag and give them to any store, by the time I go to any store. And also when somebody comes to my house, like to give me a mail or to fix something, I always give him some book, and they always remember me by that. Oh, you were the one who gave me the book. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
That's a very good policy. It changes just an ordinary trip to the store into a transcendental excursion, where you're actually meditating on book distribution and how Lord Chaitanya might make an arrangement for you and who might get the book and so forth. So it's something that everybody can do. Ratatvaj Swami tells me stories all the time because he carries perfection of yoga with him wherever he goes. And wherever he travels, he always gives out. And he says people respond so favorably. Even he was telling in one airport, he gave a book to one of the ladies behind the ticket counter. And he was just sitting there waiting for the flight. She came over and gave him an upgrade. Because she just appreciated what he was doing and who he was and everything like that. And just the other day when we were flying out of San Francisco, you know, it's very busy. People were leaving for the weekend. And I gave an easy journey to other planets to the man behind the counter. And he appreciated. But I was just thinking how funny it is to give out an easy journey to other planets at an airport. I think who sees things like this, you know, easy journey to other planets.
Thank you, Shri. Actually, Gandhi Mataji just remembered me one story. We were returned after Harinam. We were carrying our book bag, right? And we, with my friend, just went to the store, right? And we had the tilaks, the saris, right? And the security of the store, right? He like, oh, you look very nice. You know, like, what is this? What does that mean? And my friend, you know, she actually started telling that, you know, oh, it's tilak, you know, like we follow Hare Krishna, you know what Hare Krishna is. And he said, no, what is this? And we just kind of gave him a book, right, and explained everything, and he got the book, yeah, and always he remembers us the same, like, oh, you are the one who read the book. So it's important to have books with you all the time.
Yes, very, very important and memorable. It's not so hard either. I talked about this at a seminar in Chicago, and there was two devotees that were doing a business together, so they were driving to and from their clients, and they had put a box of books in their car. They used to pick me up at the airport when they come to Chicago. So I had come back after the seminar about 6 months later. They were driving me, and I noticed the book box in the car, and they said, oh, you're following the advice. And they said, we want to tell you a story. Right after your seminar, we put a box of books in our car, and then we got invited to a home program and at a big house. And then while we were there, the host said, I would like to distribute Bhagavad Gita's. Can you give me some Bhagavad Gita's? And there were lots of devotees there from the temple and different places, but none of them had any books. And then they remembered they had the box in their car. So they went out there and they brought them all the Gita's they had there, which was about 8. Plus some other small books, and he gave him $1,000 as a gift for the books. So I said, now we always remember the importance of bringing books wherever you go. What else?
So Guru Maharaj, I don't go that much out for Sankirtan with the group, but then when I went to Washington DC, I had an amazing experience because people, they are of like different age group and like, you know, men, women, and they were so happy, happily they were taking, and I was very, I've seen one of your Sankirtan, like you were out, and then I was very authoritatively going like right in front of them so that they have to take, and it was really, really amazing. But I also like going alone door to door more than that. I mean, like I like to really connect with people, sit there and read Bhagavad Gita or something for them. So sometimes people they will not take books or they will not give the donation, but they really like that they hear, I mean, they heard something good. So I don't know, like, I mean, that is not helping me like distribute many books, but then I'm able to connect the people and I feel that they start thinking about it, but then I'm not getting the response back that much, but I don't know. I want to know, like, from you, what is the right way?
Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told his sannyasis that they should go out every day and knock on at least 4 doors and try to preach Krishna Katha. And he said, it'll be good for you and good for them. And he said, even if they
don't listen, or even if they close the door, they'll still think there some saintly person came by and they saw me, and they saw that person, so they'll get some benefit. So going out and meeting people and teaching them Bhagavad Gita is very auspicious, to go out and meet people and give them a little encouragement. The soul needs some encouragement. So it's very nice.
Thank you very much. And I'm really fortunate to have this knowledge, because just a few days back in my office, I joined this Toastmaster. It was my first day, and the topic was something related to what will you be if you are given a chance. And person who was talking was always saying that I want to be me, but I don't know who I am. And then they were missing the speaker, so they just asked, and I voluntarily took that opportunity, and I started the whole Bhagavad Gita. And they heard first time in their life that soul and soul size of the soul and everything, and everyone was amazed. So I'm planning next time I'll take the Bhagavad Gita with me for my Toastmaster, and I hope people will take it. And so I really appreciate that, like what knowledge I'm getting from Vidarbhaji, Loka Prabhu, you and Prabhu Pada. Thank you so much.
Hari Bol. Is that Anita?
Krishna Guru Maharaj. I would just like to share that one of my neighbor, I went to for book distribution, and it was just that I got the papers from Lokadesh Prabhu, and next day or day after I went to the neighborhood, the neighbors that I know. So as soon as I went to her home, she was not downstairs, her mother-in-law was, and she said she was upstairs. So then I went upstairs and called her, and immediately she came down and she was chanting. And then she came in and she didn't know, she had no clue why I had come there. So she said that, see, I was chanting from the beads you gave me a couple of years ago. And I had given her a book on Srimad Bhagavatam, first part. And I'm reading that every day, a little bit, but she is doing it every day. And I realized that was the correct moment to talk to her about it. And then I showed her the papers and said that what we are doing and why we are doing it, like we are mostly distributing this knowledge to the special areas. And I showed him all the areas like hospitals and everything, and colleges and all. And I said that not only that, we also install the Srimad Bhagavatam at the people's places. Would you be interested in inviting Krishna in your home? She said, for that, I don't know. But I am in for encouraging this knowledge to be given to every place else. And she didn't think twice. And she immediately got the check for me. And gave it, she's the only thing she said that this should be donated to the hospitals. That's what I want. Mm. So that was so encouraging. And after that, I went to one home. They also took Bhagavad Gita, that place also I went. They were not into it, but they gave me a positive response that they will try to help at least. So this was a very encouraging experience for me.
It's amazing what happens if you just go out and try. Because we really don't know who's out there and what's going to happen. And when we were in Naperville last time, there were about four or five devotees who had gone out for their first time. And they felt very timid about going out, because it was intimidating to them. So afterwards, when we sat together and shared, every one of them had had an experience that had bolstered their enthusiasm. They had been just trying, and they weren't exactly sure. They had a little training, but they weren't sure exactly how to do it. But each one of them met somebody who gave a very positive response, and several of them got really substantial donations, which really surprised them, because they didn't even try for that. They didn't know how to try for a large donation. They just did their best. And it's very encouraging to go out into the world and then just try your best and see how Krishna arranges things. Were you going to say, Samrita, you had a point?
No, I was just
Okay, I thought you had your hand. Who else? Sharing means caring. Somebody new? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I'm a very scared person. I don't open up very easily. But as soon as I come into the association of Vidhava Mataji, Loka Prabhu, and all the pure devotees here, I felt that I should do something, and I was, when I came here, I was in a very miserable situation where I was falling down, and I realized that this helped me, and now I seek the opportunity to see if somebody else is going through the same phase or somebody is in a difficult situation. I go out and approach them, and I have a friend who was also in the bad situation, and now she is also being helped by it, like as I was. But yeah, I mean that encourages me. Just staying in the association of these devotees, it's helping me a lot to grow.
That's a really nice realization. In the Gita, Krishna says, "Atma upamgena sarvatra samam pashyati Arjuna, sukham va yadiva dukham." Sayogi paramomataha. He talks about the highest yogi, the parama yogi. And he says it's that person who feels compassion for others in this world based on his or her own experience being in the material nature. He knows what it means to be moved by happiness and distress in this world. And then based on that, really feels that, let me give this to other people. So your impetus to go out based on your own experience is very powerful. And even one person that can be helped and who gets a chance to take advantage of the very clear instructions that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita and the association of devotees is worth the... is more valuable, I should say, than all the commerce that goes on in the world. You can put everything else on the scale and it's not as valuable as helping one person as you've done. Well done. Hare Krishna. A few more. Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yeah, like Vidharma Mataji was sharing, like I have seen so many instances, like at least two that I remember. Like just by reading our books, actually, so many people like they have turned into vegan or vegetarianism, and so that is the first experience that I received that the books are so potent, and also like what I have experienced going to so many festivals is it's like a festival, like it's a kind of picnic, like when we go out, like for the name's sake, we are going for a service. But it is kind of our spiritual
enjoyment.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you can't have any more fun than Sankirtan, huh?
Thank you.
There was a young devotee, this is maybe about 20 years ago, I was in Denver, and there was a group of brahmacharis, and I did a training, and then I was taking them out. There was one brahmachari who was from an Asian country, I can't remember where it was, but he was very reluctant to come out. But he came out anyway, along with everybody. And then when we set up at the Denver outside mall, he went about a quarter of a mile down and sat down on a bench by himself because he didn't want to get caught up in what was going on. And as he was sitting there, some lady walked by and she saw him sitting there and she said, "Oh, are you a monk?" He said, "Yeah." And she said, "Can I sit down?" And she sat down. She started asking him questions. She said, "Well, what are the books that you're carrying around with you?" And then, she said, "Well, can I get them?" He said, "Yes." Yeah. She said, "Can I give a donation?" And she took a stack of books and gave him $75. And he came bounding off the bench and he was running from one place to the next. And then when it was time to leave, he wouldn't get in the van. He was like, "Get in the van." He's like, "No, one more, one more." So
these things happen when we go out and just see what happens. Krishna makes arrangements. Yes. Okay. 1, 2.
Guru Maharaj, in one of your lectures, like you were talking about like how Shraddha Mataji, she will do that corporation.
Yes.
So that time you mentioned that like first like you cultivate that you know relation with them and then you give something and then they will give you back.
Yes.
I wanted to know more about like what she is actually doing. I mean, is she distributing prasada books or what kind of spiritual relation is there, or what is it that is like
they have to do? Well, in general, she goes out of her way to be helpful to people, and she does bring prasadam regularly. And any way that she can extend herself to make friends with people, she does all year. And then when it comes to the last part of the year, she'll go around and tell people that, you know, we're doing this, a big drive to distribute Bhagavad Gita's, and you know, would you like to be involved? And they're like, oh, absolutely. They're very happy to do that. And there's a video, she gave an entire seminar about this at our last orientation session at ISV, and it's posted. We can arrange to link you to that. You can watch the whole thing and see how it all works. And she also organizes weekly calls. Do you want to say more about it?
So Shraddha Mataji, through her friends and colleagues, she has 2 weekly calls to discuss about spirituality and reading specifically from books like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book. And then gradually, as you said, towards the end of the year, she also evangelizes about Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So just being there and answering their queries, questions, introducing them to Krishna consciousness throughout week on a weekly basis, dedicated a few hours every week. And that's one of the very effective service efforts.
Just to add on, Maharaj, you had last time when we had a Sangeetan meeting, you had said something, I'm not sure the exact words, but you had said, if you don't go out every day and give a book, then what's the excitement? I mean, I'm not sure what exact words were. So when I go out, I really don't go out much for the compassion, but to get an excitement kick in the heart.
Yeah, it's a good reason to go out, is to feel that you're alive. Because it's a challenge to cross the threshold and go out into the unknown. To just challenge yourself and see, can I do this, and depend on Krishna. Practically more than any other service, it gives that kind of exhilaration of dependence on Krishna. I always notice when devotees are going door to door, you knock on the door and then everyone's sort of, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, because you don't know. When the door opens, it's a real mystery who's going to look out and talk to you and what's going to happen next. It's very interesting. Yeah. Life without Sankirtan is boring. What else? Yes.
We were sitting outside Samriddhi's dance class, Madan Murari and myself, and we are looking for certain furniture, and we looked at different stores, but I was not liking the bookshelf, so we thought, just let's go through the Craigslist, maybe we'll find something. So there was a lady who lived very close by, and I just called her, and she said, you can come in right now to look at the bookcase. We went there, I think it was not the bookcase, it was a study table, sorry. And then when we went in there, I suddenly remembered, as like just getting down from my car, that I wish I had some book so I could have given her. And I opened the dash box and I found my copy of Light of Bhagavata, and I took it and we went upstairs. We didn't like the furniture, but I gave the book to her. And when we asked her name, she gave the translation of her name was Light. So, and she took it and she came to the Namhata. And then ever since then, we are very much in touch with each other, and she follows many like Friday programs, and she keeps asking certain questions. So I think, yeah, that was...
Wow. Amazing. Beautiful. Who else?
As you just mentioned that people in this material world are so oppressed. Every time I go for book distribution, I can feel that people are really suffering. So I have met so many people. One time we went to Pathway. There was a lady, she cried on my shoulder for 15 minutes continuously. She was in so much pain. So for me, like, book distribution is a, you know, I can't define it in words, but I feel very fortunate that, you know, I am able to contribute something towards Prabhupada's mission. And it's all your mercy.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Bol. Yes, please.
Mataji was the one who came to my house. And
really?
She blessed us.
So was that you met for the first time?
Distribution.
Door to door?
Yes.
No kidding. Wow. Hari Bol.
I just learned that tomorrow is that special day where Facebook is matching donations.
It starts tomorrow? Or it's just for one day tomorrow?
So,
yeah, if you put a button on your Facebook, a donate button, and it's going directly to the nonprofit organization, then people can donate up to $1,000 for each button, and they'll match it. So I just saw today that ISV is organizing to get everyone to put a button up. A lot of them already have buttons on their...
I got an email from Shraddha Devi.
From Shraddha Devi?
I think Baltimore is having, like, Sham Prabhu did it, like, $5 to $500. You donate it and then it will match up.
But this is corporate. Like, the corporation is going to match.
Temple, Baltimore Temple, it is also something like that, like they will match up tomorrow.
In any case, we know for certain that that Facebook is matching. Until 5 p.m. tomorrow? Okay. It's not so hard to put a donate button on your Facebook, we just heard. I just heard about it before I came downstairs, so, and saw that they're getting it together really fast. I didn't know it was tomorrow. We'll fix it up tonight, make sure. Because you could do up to $100,000 if you have enough devotees matching. I mean, Loka did promise us earlier that he was gonna, that we were gonna smash the goal here. So maybe we'll double it.
So Facebook will donate $1,000
per button. Profit. Yeah. So say like you put a button on your Facebook.
My personal page.
Yeah, your personal page, and for the benefit of the nonprofit, the button goes directly to that nonprofit. So people can put at least up to $1,000 donate up to $1,000, correct me if I'm wrong, on your individual one?
Yes.
And then they'll match that, right? And then each organization can do up to $100,000, and they'll match up to $100,000, correct?
Yes.
So what is the whatever donation that
we
received at least from our group?
Anyway, you know, we could talk about the details later on. You have to check and see what the rules and regulations are and follow them very carefully, whatever that is. Yeah. Anyway, there's opportunities everywhere. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he went out with his followers and he asked them, "Did you bring anything with you?" And they said, "No,
my Lord, you didn't tell us to bring anything. And he said, very good, because I want you to see how Krishna is taking care of every living entity. He said, look around at the universe and see how the Lord has filled up the universe with food and money, but everyone only gets what they deserve. And then he told how there's a way in which even a great king, he's supposed to get a royal feast every day, but one day he becomes angry at his enemy, so he said, I won't eat. So that day, because of his karma, he can't eat the royal feast. Or one day he's about to eat, and then he gets sick, he can't eat. So there's ample supply within the universe, and for those who simply dedicate their consciousness to spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement, that means thinking of Krishna. In the Gita, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantamam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabdiyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. Such person who's meditating constantly on me, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. And this is the means by which Prabhupada expanded the Krishna consciousness movement. He simply depended on Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't let his followers and leaders of his temples collect and keep a lot of money. Whenever they'd get big donations, he'd make them spend it on a big festival so that people could get the holy names. And he wanted them to be broke all the time because he wanted them to feel that dependence on Krishna, that where's the money going to come from? And so those who get money and then they put it into distributing books and then simply depend on Krishna to continue to send more, put themselves in an advantageous situation. What else? Let's take a few more. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Babuji. I think I'm the only one person in this whole Bhakti Bridge who has never been out for the book distribution. But the only one time I went for the book distribution, like a month back or so, every time I was thinking, okay, let's go out. But one fine day, I got some energy. I don't know how. Before I went for book distribution, I went nearby my apartment only. But when I went out for book distribution, I saw at least 10 of your videos, how to distribute books by Vashish Kamal. How to distribute books by Vashish. Anyways, and I went out and somehow I took both my daughters with me. And then my little one, my Arna, was holding all the books. I said, Mama, let's give this book. I said, Arna, let me think what to say. let me think how to go about it. And then by Krishna's mercy, at least we were able to distribute 4-5 books only. And then we got $3. And then my one lady was not ready to give the money. She said, I don't have money. So my daughter was like, she was just standing, and then that lady was just turning the pages, and then she liked it so much, she gave $2. And my daughter said, Mama, right now she said she don't have money. I said, that's okay. Don't say in front of her. You can talk in Hindi in your own language. I told Madan Murari Prabhu, can you please give me some meditation kit? At least I can keep it in my car and, you know, whenever I get a chance, I can distribute it. But that's it.
Haribo! Those are the best stories. Hearing about how there's some trepidation about going out and then overcoming that. Everyone can relate to that. And really, book distribution is always like that. There's never a point at which you think, oh, now I got it down. Because the second you start thinking like that, who knows what might happen. Oftentimes, yes, Loka.
Yeah, the second thing that And that's true. I've been doing distribution for the last 18-19 years, and every time I go out, I have that trepidation. And after the end of our festival season, a couple of weeks ago, I decided for the marathon, I'll start going out door to door. And then I went to an apartment complex, I put in my trunk, and I sat there for almost an hour, just trying to say, okay, now I'll go out now. And the mind says, you're not ready. So it's very natural to feel that fear, and that and it never goes away. And it's good that it never goes away, because then it always keeps you praying hard.
Mm.
And I was constantly chanting Panchatattva mantra on every door, and it was a blissful experience.
The hardest part about book distribution is getting out the door, because once you go, then you see actually a different mind. Yeah.
$2 reminded me once I was in Baltimore, the Rath Yatra festival, distributing books, and one person said, I don't have money. Then I took out one quarter and gave him. He said, hold it. And he took it, and I said, give him this donation. He said, this is not my money. Don't worry. So, I said, I'll take it later on. He said, when did we meet again? I don't know. Don't worry, I will take this one next birth. And after some time, he came back with $5.
Hariba! That's a new technique. I don't have any money. Okay, here you go. I'll give you some money. I'll give it back. I never heard that, ever. That's really good. I like that a lot.
Years ago, and there was a boy who came to my table where I was distributing the books. Then he inquired about the books. I told him about the books, and he, when I said that this is like $5, anything over that is a donation. That is the phrase we used. That I don't have the money. Then we were told that if suppose somebody says that, then we can give it for free also. I said, you can take it from me because we don't sell these books. At that time, I didn't know that it connects to our previous achar and all that phrases. So he said, I like the books. I take this book. It's very nice of you and very generous of you. I will think about it, whether to give a donation or not. And he left. And I forgot about that. And then so many people came and gave donation and took the books, but this one particularly, he returned after 3 or 4 hours, and he gave me $10. So I had asked for $5, and he gave me $10. He said, you guys are really good, because you, what you say, exactly, that is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't ask for the donation, you didn't force me to have the money, you said take it free, and I took it free. But it weighed upon me so much that I had to
together. Mm. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have actually one question. If somebody steals a book, you know, sometimes like some homeless people, they just steal books.
They just grab it?
Like grab it, yeah, like, oh, you know, sir, one penny donation. Is it, has any reaction? Like,
well, that used to happen to us all the time. Because we distributed books in airports for many years. And when we were very young, too, so people thought that we were, because we were so dedicated, they thought they must be brainwashed. And that they thought we were some crazy, you know, cult or something like that. So they'd always try to take advantage. And oftentimes when we'd show books to people. We'd show them the book, and instead of waiting for us to talk about it, where they just grab it and they say, thanks, knowing that they were doing that. And it happened so many times that we asked Prabhupada about it, and Prabhupada's answer was, lucky thief. Yeah. Anyone else? So having goals and working as a team creates a fresh challenge. And Prabhupada said about management that you should create an atmosphere in which people want to do service. They feel naturally enthusiastic to come and do it. And then he said you have to create a fresh challenge so they want to reach up to meet it. Is that that's what makes a movement move? You have fresh challenges. And Prabhupada was constantly giving fresh challenges. I talked today when we installed the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Prabhupada had a challenge that seemed insurmountable, which was the marathon to print 17 books in 2 months. But he was constantly putting those kind of challenges out to his devotees, and he challenged himself constantly. And it's in that stress that one feels, and there is stress, for instance, when you set a new goal, then you immediately have to think, how am I going to do it? And we find that once somebody dedicates themselves to a new goal, either personally or as a group, then there's a way in which you lose a little sleep because you think, how is this going to happen? And it's in that gap where you're thinking, how will it happen? And you begin praying and thinking very deeply about it, that you make advancement. You need some kind of spiritual stress. Material stress, even, there's ways in which people who are athletes grow by stressing out their body and then recovering, stressing, recovering, and so forth. And there's spiritual stress also. And that comes through these fresh challenges, either in sadhana or especially in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And one of the kind of challenges is the most quantifiable is book distribution. So it's something you can really count. There's units you can count. How many units came in? How many units went out? How much did they cost? How much did we pay? Those are very easy things to measure very carefully. And dollars don't lie. And in order to increase your capacity, you have to come together and think about how to do it and improve the systems. As I was saying the other night, finding at least 3 improvements every month that you can make in your team makes it very compelling, and everyone notices too that things are getting better. And as we increase our capacity, we get more capacity, and the bigger the program gets, the more it increases our overall outreach. There are so many residuals that one gets from expanding book distribution, not the least of which are the benefits to the devotees who become more advanced. For instance, many devotees join the Krishna consciousness movement and they come in at the Kanishta Adhikari level, at the level where they have weak faith and they also don't know anything about Shastra. But when devotees learn to go out and do good for others, they become much stronger. Their faith grows because they see it for themselves, how the books are having effects on others. And then they realize their efficacy. In the ancient days of Vedic culture, there was a test to see how mantras would work. And the priest would have to test the mantra by having an animal enter into the fire. And then when they do the mantra properly, the animal would be brought back to life and would get a new body. This Prabhupada mentions in many places throughout his purports. And in The Kali Yuga, we don't do those kind of sacrifices because there's no Brahmin priests capable of uttering such mantras perfectly. However, we have the Hare Krishna mantra, and we have the mantras that we use in order to convince people to take Bhagavad Gita and other books. And we can test the efficacy of our own mantras by taking them out into the world. If you take the Hare Krishna mantra out and introduce it to people regularly, you'll see that their lives suddenly change. They come back to their original spiritual life. And when you see that you've tested the mantra and it works, then you start realizing it will work on me also. And that observation has to be done regularly because the mind is so oppressive that it can take us away from the practice of Krishna consciousness if we're not steady at applying this process. And when devotees see for themselves and then they become more serious about reading and chanting, then they move from kanishtas to madhyams. And in an organization, when you have madhyama adhikaris, even if you have a few, you have a very powerful organization. You'll see that when leaders emerge, then your capacity to expand on all levels, every single program becomes enhanced, because you can't expand an organization without human resources. And the best companies look for the best human resources in the world. We create our own. We look for them, of course, but we also know the power of Sankirtan to bring people up to those higher levels. And even with children, especially with children, we find that when they learn how to do Sankirtan from an early age, they develop skills that other kids never get. One of them that really impressed me was that the kids that go out with our a very well-organized kids Sankirtan team, Kameshwari told us about how the first time she took a group of kids out and somebody closed the door on them in sort of a rude fashion, and they experienced rejection, the kind of thing that everyone fears. And there they were. They're young kids, and they just experienced rejection. So she sat down with them in a nearby playground, and they sat in a circle and talked about what just happened. And they had a whole discussion. And after they were able to discuss it, they, using understanding of Bhagavad Gita and principles of self-realization, the kids actually became fortified, and they learned something that some people never learn their whole lives. They fear rejection, and they stay away from it as much as possible. But these kids faced it head on, and then they were able to process it, and that made them very strong. And you can see that the kids become very worldly smart. They know how the world works, they know how modes work, they know how rejection works and what to do about it and so forth. And this makes them very well-rounded. So Sankirtan is a holistic practice, a kind of sadhana that helps people move up to a much higher level of realization, actual realization, not just philosophical. You may study all the books and understand the philosophy, but until you actually go out and enact it by showing compassion to others and trying to give people an opportunity to become Krishna conscious, then the realization from the philosophy does not solidify. Prabhupada says that kanishta adhikaris spend the time criticizing others and arguing amongst themselves. On the other hand, madhyama adhikaris spend their time thinking about, like all of you are doing right now, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Which would you rather have in your organization? Kanishtas, who criticize and argue all the time, or madhyams, who are thinking about spreading the movement? Let's ask Samriddhi. Madhyams?
Same.
Same? Three votes for madhyam. Haribol! And that's good, because you kids are going to be leading this Sankirtan team in a few short years. So you're observing all these things, and then you're going to be the next ones who are going to be leading this. Right? Say yes. Okay, thanks. That makes me, I'll sleep better tonight. Anything else that you would like to cover tonight?
People have a suggestion
Room for improvement. We'll write these things down. Any room for improvements, any gaps you see you want to fill. Let's take a list, and then you can add them on your 3 improvements a month list. What do you want to fix? What's been that thing that's been bugging you that you see? It's like, if we could just do this a little better, we'd have a better team. Working on kids' Sankirtan. So let's just, a couple action items on that would be to, you've already taken the SOS and talked to Kameshwari, right? Okay, so are you writing, who's writing them down? No, no, I'm talking about all the room for improvement. Loka's writing? Kids Sankirtan, and there's an action item already. Radhika Nam will talk to Kameshwari and get the inside scoop. More improvements?
More preaching, that's what I feel, that like we do more preaching, and we are doing the Friday program, but other than that, like, you know, small group road, or, you know, wherever there is a group, like if you can, if we give them book and we never, you know, go back, and I want to like see the effect or if they need help, so there should be like something that like we can do for their preaching.
Follow up?
Yes,
follow up preaching?
Before I move on to the other one, for the kids, Sankirtan, do you want to have any goals for next year? So that there's a force.
More than the goals, just starting at this first point, like taking them out a few times and then giving.
How many times would you like to take out?
I'll speak to Mataji maybe monthly once as of now.
Once a month?
Kids team, we're talking about you.
Maybe a devotee appreciation so that more people will be encouraged to be active participation. Like in any way, like maybe in meditation kits or preparing meditation kit or cookies, making prasadam, or like what are calling hospital for whatever, right? So we can, so my point is basically we can, our goal is to include more people, congregational member, in our team. And how we can, objectively define, but yeah, so the my point is basically we can include more people in the circle.
So having more devotees.
Yes.
Anything else? Improvements?
I don't know, but like, feeling really inspired by all the talks. So, for me, I'm gonna make a goal that I'm gonna have people read books on phone or like, you know, making groups that can read together. And if we have questions, we can ask.
That's really nice. Reading. Conference calls, reading. That's good. A few more, room for improvement.
I have a couple that comes to my mind is having a follow-up meeting after every festival. Right now we are not doing that, so coming up with improvements after every festival. That will fall in line with what you're saying. And also having prasadam for some kind of prasadam organized, free prasadam. The cookies or whatever we organize for every festival or every event we go out. That's something that we are lacking right now, and we need to organize them in that part.
You know, in Japanese companies, one of the ways in which they've excelled is by empowering the employees who work throughout the factories and in the companies to give feedback regularly. And they solicit advice from them. And having having ready-made forms that are meant to capture these different ways in which there can be improvements and giving them to everybody. So you don't even wait till after, but even as devotees are moving about and doing their services, when they notice something, they can just jot it down, or maybe there's an electronic way to do it where you can capture them. And then you'll have them kind of in real time. Because sometimes you see something and then you forget about it for a year. But if you get them faster, you can make more rapid improvements.
And I like the idea about having one person just focus on feedback or focus on refinement.
Yes, have somebody going around looking to see, to spot. Because everyone else is engaged, but the other one person is just looking to see where the gaps are. You'll notice, someone lost the keys to the book room, or the car was late in coming, and can just make a notation of all these things.
I was also thinking that before our next festival season kicks off, we've been talking about it this whole year about offering book distribution training seminars in Baltimore, and then there are some devotees also interested in Virginia. So taking this time during the winter season when we don't have so many festivals to really get that done, so that when we start our next year, we have enough trained up devotees who can then plug in. Because a lot of times devotees want to go out, but they don't know how to do it. And Vaisheshika Prabhu's training manual really takes the mystery out and makes it easy for new people to plug in. So I think that's an immediate thing that we could get into, is just offer fix a date and just do it.
We have some videos, how to, and we also, we have at-a-glance cards. We have a card to how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. We have a card that is how to set up a monthly Sankirtan festival. So we have a whole series of at-a-glance cards that... Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.